Before we begin, let's pray. Our gracious Lord, we come before you and we give you thanks. I do pray and do ask that your Holy Spirit would be upon the word spoken, that you would direct my thoughts, and may what be said is what you would like said. And I do pray that for each individual sitting here, the Holy Spirit may be upon them. They become sensitive to your will, sensitive to what you want them to learn. And may we leave this building different because we've met you, talked to you, and received from you. Strengthen us, encourage us, and enable us to honor you through Christ. Amen. I'm sure most of you have seen ads on TV where this gentleman or lady who happens to be a little bit overweight discovers this magical pill or elixir, and they take it, and they all of a sudden they lose X amount of pounds, and they're fabulous looking. You know, the before, and they show you the before and after picture. You know, it's like, whoa, what a change in their life. And I remember seeing individuals on TV, these gentlemen who have lost a little bit of their hair, and they're, you know, moaning the blues about it, and then they get this product, and next thing you know, the next picture is they get this full head of hair, and they're happy as all. They're happy and smiling because they have now a full head of hair, the before and the after pictures. And then, of course, if you watch any of the TV shows concerning the home remodeling, they show you the place that looked like a mess before, and then afterwards, this is a little palace. The before and after pictures. But you know, in Scripture, there's before and after pictures too. In Ephesians chapter 2, we were dead in our sins, but God made us what? Alive. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5 talks about you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. There's a before and after. And then Ephesians 2 again says, remember at that time when you were separate from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenant of promise without hope and without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Jesus. I think so. I know I do. And I don't know about you, but I would be pretty sure that some of you feel this way too, that too often we forget about what God has given us. And when we can look at the cross and say, thank you, Jesus, for dying upon that cross. But when he died upon that cross and we received that gift of salvation, we became, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, what? A new creation. 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. We don't see things the way we used to. There's a newness about us. But too often we forget about that newness. We forget about what God has given to us in Jesus Christ. When Christ resides in a person's heart, a change has taken place, and a change begins to take place. We were not what we were because of Jesus entering our lives. From God's point of view, that change from being out of Christ, being dead to sin, and to being in Christ or being alive, that took place instantly. When that happened, we were lost, we were found. We are children of the devil, then you're children of God. An instantaneous place, instantaneous change that took place. But there is a disconnect in our lives. We can say that intellectually, but experientially, we don't often live that out. It takes much longer for you and I at times to accept the fact of who we are in Jesus Christ. Who it is that God called us to be and who we are. Because our identity is no longer based on us as it was beforehand. It's based upon Jesus and what he has done for us upon the cross, upon his grace, upon his acceptance of us. We need to recognize that. Tony Evans said the following. Now, he's a pastor and author and conference speaker. He said that in the Bible, when people came to Jesus Christ and were serious about following him, when they became people of the kingdom, there is no question about who they were. Those early disciples became known among the people around them to unbelievers as the way. They were the way because they had chosen to walk a different path in life. They were called the way. They had identified themselves totally with Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. They lived for the kingdom, and their identity as to who they were was tied to the kingdom of God. And he goes on to say, the great tragedy today is that we don't have enough Christians who know who they are. They may be genuine believers, he said, but their faith is just another addition to their portfolio. When it comes to the bottom line, they define themselves in terms of their name, their job, their possessions, or the people they know. If somebody asked you who you are, and nowhere in the conversation did the name of Jesus or the kingdom of God come up, he says you're a confused Christian. As a member of the kingdom, your identity is tied to Jesus Christ, and it needs to be held on to tightly, daily. There should be no way to talk about you and not talk about him. And how often does that occur? Far too often. In other words, the term Christian should not be just a title. It is your identification. Being a follower of Christ is the essence of who you are. Do you often see yourself that way? I asked someone yesterday, I said, when's the last time you thought about who you are in Jesus? And it was, well, not very often. And then the other question that ran through my mind was, how do you think God thinks about you? And they hesitated and they said, probably a little disappointed. Is that how you think God thinks of you? Could you list there and think of those things about how God thinks about you? Because of coming to Jesus, you're a new creation. Scripture lists a myriad of phrases and words that describe who we are now that we are Christians. And yet so often, we don't even bother looking at them. We've lost our identity in many respects. Satan does a good job of keeping us from looking at who we are and owning that as to who we are. I want to read to you something, and I struggled thinking about doing this, but I read this and I said, you know what? If they don't like it, they can fire me. But this is not wrong. This is biblical. There are about 60 different references in here to Scripture, though I'm not reading the references. Some of you will pick them. You'll pick them up. But just listen, because one of the reasons we've talked about a little bit about who you are, as who we are as Christians, and too often we forget it. But if our view of who we are as Christians is low, well, I believe it's going to affect how we're going to read Scripture. It's going to affect how we understand Scripture. It's going to affect how we're going to pray. And if we're going to talk about being disciplined people, we need to continually be reminded of who we are. We do. And you need to be reminded of who this God is we do pray to. But we need to be reminded. Now, so I read this and I go, this is a good reminder. This covers a lot of areas about who you are. So imagine you can do it two ways. You can imagine that the good Lord has called you into a room and you're sitting with him and he's going to tell you this. Or imagine he called this congregation into a room and he said, sit down and listen. This is what I think about you. Now, listen to it. This is the Lord speaking. He says, I am the creator and you are my creation. I breathe into your nostrils the breath of life. I created you in my own image. My eyes saw your unformed substance. I knit you together in your mother's womb. I know the number of hairs on your head. And before a word is on your tongue, I know it. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And there's a battle going on, even now thinking, oh, that's somebody else. No, it's you who are believers. You are more valuable than many sparrows. I've given you dominion over all sheep and oxen and all beasts of the field and birds of the heavens and fishes of the sea. I have crowned you with glory and honor as a pinnacle and final act of the 6 days of creation. However, from the beginning, you exchanged the truth about me for a lie. You worship and serve created things rather than me, the creator. You have sinned and fallen short of my glory. Just as I said to Adam and Eve, the penalty for your sin is death. And in your sin, you were spiritually dead. You were children of wrath, living as enemies to me. You turned aside from me. You became corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. What you deserve is my righteous judgment. Your sin has separated you from me. And there's nothing you can do to bring us back together again. Yet, in my great love for you, I gave my unique son, Jesus, that all those who believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. While you were still sinners, Jesus died for you. While you were still hostile toward me, you were reconciled to me by the death of my son. Sin doesn't have the last word. Grace does. Not everyone who calls on the name, but now everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. You who have believed are born again. I have adopted you. You are children of God, heirs of God. You are no longer orphans. You belong to me. And I love you as a perfect father. We need to receive that. Believe that. Own that. But he goes on. He says, in my eyes, you're a brand new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. Sin is no longer your master. For you died to sin and now are alive to me. You are finally free from the slavery of sin and death. There is now no condemnation for you. All your sins are forgiven. All your unrighteousness has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. You are now righteous in my sight with the very righteousness of my perfect Son, Jesus. You have been saved by grace. You've been justified by faith. You are utterly secure in me. Nothing will be able to separate you from my love in Christ Jesus. No one is able to snatch you out of my hand, and I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You not only have a new father, but a new family of brothers and sisters. You are now part of the people of God. And together, the life you now live is by faith in Jesus, my son. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. He's the author and the perfecter of your faith. Christ is in you by my spirit, and you are in Christ. Stay close to Jesus. Abide in Jesus. For your life is found in him. To live is Christ. To die is gain. Don't live by your own power or your own understanding. No, live by my spirit within you. Remember, I have given you the Holy Spirit to be with you and in you. The Spirit will guide you into all truth, help you to obey me, and empower you to do my work. As you seek me and see more of my glory, I am transforming you into the image of my Son. One day you will be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet sound, when Jesus appears, you will be like him because you shall see him as he is. You will be delivered from your body of death through Jesus Christ, and your dwelling place will be with me. And I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. You will drink from the spring of the water of life without payment, and I myself will make for you a feast of rich food and well-aged wine. You will enter my rest, inherit the kingdom I prepared for you, and step into fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. But most of all, you will see my face and be with me where I am. Until then, therefore, walk in a manner worthy of your calling. You are no longer darkness, but light in my Son. Walk as children of light. You are light. Walk as children of light. Walk as a city set on a hill. I have called you. I have chosen you. You are now a saint, a servant, a steward, and a soldier. You are a witness and a worker. Through Jesus, you are victorious. You have a glorious future. You are a citizen of heaven. You are an ambassador for my Son. Live the life I've given to you. Know who you are as my son, my daughter. Do we? Do we recognize that? Because it is a struggle. It is a struggle to be free from, you know, the doubt, the fear, the wonder. And how often during the week do you think about who you are in Jesus Christ? When you're facing a trial, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. My spirit's within you. Yet too often, Satan does his best to make sure that we do not remember who we are. Why we celebrate the death of Jesus upon the cross. It's not just our insurance policy, so we die, we wave it. I'm a Christian. He wants us to live and enjoy this life now with him. To know we are stronger than we think. We need to stand firm. It's not easy. But one of the things about, you know, the one another passages is we're to pray for one another. And how often do we need it? Yes, daily. And do we do it to be reminded about who we are as we walk in the world and fight the battle? Because you begin to own that you're a believer in Jesus. You begin to stand firm in that faith. Satan is going to start charging at you. He is going to start throwing things at you to bring doubt, to bring fear, to bring everything he can to make you wander from the truth of the Word of God. We need to hold fast to Jesus Christ. I have put over there, I found this online, this is the list of who I am in Christ. There are 33 different aspects to being who you are in Christ. And the scripture verse is next to them. You know, when Jesus was tempted in the desert by Satan, what did he said to Satan? It is what? It is written. Well, we need to know the word, you know, and at times we need to look at these verses and memorize them. That's, hey, Satan, I'm one of Christ. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. We need to stand firm and hold the word and use it. Stand firm. Read these. Take the verse. Begin to study the verse. You know, there's a verse in 1 John that says, you know, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And then he goes on to say, and that's what we are. I can't imagine John saying it without there being this, yeah, that's what I am. I'm a child of God. How great is that love? That's who you are. So when you pray, don't pray 50-cent prayers. We got a trillionaire father who wants to give us, you know, pray your million-dollar prayers. Ask him. Start believing that he believes in you. He loves you continually. As somebody said, you know, he can't love you any more than he loves you right now. But what if no? His foot is on the pedal maximum, and it's like everything he got is given to us. Do we believe it? Well, maybe. Well, we'll see. And we become timid little, well, I don't know. Could he? Oh, come on. I think he's saying, will you people believe in me? Come on, you know. But this isn't. On the back, there's a list of verses. And this individual who did this said the following. He said, each of the scriptures below takes 10 minutes or less to copy out. You're to write the verse. But commit to spending 10 minutes each day listening to God's voice as you simply copy the verses. And these verses have to do with who you are. Just write them out. It didn't say memorize them. I didn't say go tell someone them. Just do it yourself. 10 minutes. They're over here. But we need to do it. You know, you need to take these verses and memorize them. You need to do it. We do. I do. You need to be committed to who I am in Jesus. Who are you in Jesus Christ? The world needs to see people believing that our God is greater than what's going on in the world. And he's going to see it. They're going to see it how? Through us. So may we humble ourselves, confess the fact that maybe, God, I haven't been walking as I needed to walk, and I haven't been believing that I am who I am. I haven't spent time in the Word. I haven't trusted you. I haven't looked to you. You know, it's almost as if we're at a crossroads. You know, you can continue the same path and go through it and it's okay, or discover the fact that God has so much more than we can ever imagine. You know, so may we learn to take and discover. Let us pray. Father, speak to us. Remind us of who we are. Forgive us for doubting your word. Forgive us for giving lip service to it. Forgive us for, you know, honoring you with our lips, but, you know, having our hearts far from you. So cause us to look to your word for the truth and give us the courage and strength to actually believe. I mean believe, to take it to heart and to act upon it and to allow you to teach us, to show us, and enable us to experience the height and depth and width and breadth of the love you have for us in Jesus. We thank you. And as we come to this table, Lord, enable us to remember what Jesus has done for us and enable us to begin to ponder what that means to us, that we have a new identity as your children. We thank you. Amen.